We leave all three vehicles at the house, take a party bus, and not going to be back for 5 hours. The party bus is pretty fucking impressive. That's a commitment to, you know, that's being safe.
Quanda P doesn't bullshit with her vacations.
No, fucking Quanda sounds pretty damn awesome so far.
Yes.
What is up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, the one and only Billy Gunn on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to get a lot of great podcasts. Very excited to be recording an NFL preseason episode of Taking the Over. In fact, we're going to be the first podcast in all of sports wagering podcastdom to go ahead and take a look and handicap week one some time out. We're about 30 something days out from NFL kickoff Thursday. And to join me this evening and help out with all this, longtime friend of the pod and frequent guest, Troy, what's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me back. I'm here to bring my lack of knowledge.
Your lack of knowledge is always appreciated.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Good, good, good. Man, I'm so excited to get going again. It's going to feel like a regular mid-season episode of Taking the Over, and I got to tell you, I've missed that a lot, you know? It's going to be a very, very exciting season for Saints fans. It's going to be a very exciting season for people in Louisiana that are going to be able to use sports wagering for the first time ever legally from their phones in casinos, kiosks at Applebee's. I mean, it's going to be nuts, dude.
I'm excited.
I'm still,
you know, a novice. I learn a little each time we talk, and I'm really excited for it. Plus, you know, the NBA playoffs were fun, and I'm kind of watching the Olympics, but it just doesn't fill the void like the NFL does.
It's not the same, dude. And wagering on that stuff's not the same, and it's just football's back, and it's time. It's time to get back into football. I mean, it's like that time of year you start getting, you know, the fantasy football starts waking up. You start getting friends going, hey, let's get our draft together. People start asking you to join their leagues. It's that time of year. It's that time of year, dude, and I could not be more excited about it. Funny story, you and I have been in a fantasy football league for something like, I don't know, I think it's 20 more years. Than 20 years. It's more than 20 years. I think we're celebrating 20 years this year, though.
No, we started in 2001.
Okay. We did.
That's right.
We've been in the same fantasy football league with some dear friends for a very long time, and we're going to gather together for this year's league, and we decided on a city and a town where people can get to, and we're going to rent a real nice house, a real nice vacation house for Labor Day weekend. And we were doing the whole group chat, book a Airbnb thing, which is never easy or fun, but you know, it has to get done, right? And you got everybody inputs and this, are we going to have four rooms? Are we going to have two rooms? At one point, I thought you and I were going to have to share a double bed. And that just, earlier in the conversation, I was like, yeah, I'm okay with anything. Anything's cool. And I was like, whoa, wait, you got two bedrooms and we're going to share a double bed? No, that's not cool.
And we're both over, you know.
Yeah, we're both in excess of 6'3".
Two, at least, you know.
It's not even possible. We couldn't even spoon. So we got all that worked out. But what's funny is right before we hit reserve on the place that we ended up settling on, I started just looking at the reviews out of shits and giggles. And like the second review on this place that we ultimately rented, this is the place that we'll be staying at, was a 1-star review. And it was written by a lady named Quanda P. Name Quanda, last initial P. And she's there in June 2021. It's a very recent experience. And I started reading this, and this review of this place where we're staying blew my mind. This could be viral. This is a crazy, crazy experience. So let's just, and I know you've already read it because you're staying at the same place. But for the sake of the listeners, I'll read it now. So, Quanda P, first sign that this was not going to be a good stay was that this house had key access, no keypad. How many people has a key? All right, let's stop right there. Troy, I don't have a problem with a place having keys. I mean, I've stayed at Airbnbs. They've got
almost every Airbnb I've stayed at has a keypad. It's the easiest way. Yeah.
So I wasn't too worried about Quanda's one-star review based on that first sentence, right?
That's right. But please continue.
All right. Secondly, so first problem is they have a key. Secondly, we all noticed the deadbolt did not have key access. That's interesting. I don't even know what that means. We went out Friday night and returned to be locked out. We waited for the owner, who showed up with all the wrong keys. He lied about the locksmith was on their way and then said that the maintenance guy was in his way. I'm assuming she means on his way. When he, meaning the maintenance guy, made it, he pried the door open and told us that he would return to fix it. We were able to secure the door. Okay. That's Friday night.
That's right.
They go out, locked
out. Quanda's with friends.
Quanda's got some friends. She's got a cousin and some other ladies there. And locked out via the deadbolt. Owner comes, can't fix it. His maintenance guy, you got to know this owner's probably got several Airbnbs or something, you know? Maintenance guy comes, breaks in, lets him in. That's the end of Saturday night.
You left out the part where they left in a party bus.
That's the next night. The party bus is Saturday night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, we're not going to miss a thing. We're reading the review word for word. Then Saturday night, we leave all three vehicles at the house, take a party bus, and not going to be back for 5 hours. The party bus is pretty fucking impressive. That's a commitment to, you know, that's being safe.
Quanda P doesn't bullshit with her vacations.
No, fucking Quanda sounds pretty damn awesome so far.
Yes.
I mean, she and her friends they got a party bus. They take a party bus and we're not going to be back for 5 hours. While on the party bus, we received a text from the maintenance guy asking if the door was secure and if he had some friends could come hang out in our pool while we were away. All right. That they would wait on our return. So maintenance guy, who the previous night, as far as we know, has helped them out by breaking into the place, has texted them while they're out and asked if he can go party at their place with some friends while they're out and that he would wait up for them. Then we got another text at 2:30 a.m. Pull up to the house at 3 a.m. Open the front door, notice that the kitchen light was on, heard music. This guy was at the kitchen window. The screen was completely off. He's talking about, like, he's in the backyard. It said he was in his underwear.
That's right.
Real intoxicated. We asked him to leave, and he started to gather his stuff. Fast forward, it is now 4:52 a.m. And my cousin hears the alarm chime, back door. Thank God she was the only one who didn't close her bedroom. We had to call the police after asking him to leave and that we would report him. He kept asking for his bag that was inside. Like, when did you come in here? We're like, if there's anything you left, we'll leave it and you can get it after we check out. So we're securing the doors and the windows, and we figured it out. Even in the lock positions, the windows didn't lock. We turned off the lights in the foyer, noticed a black bag with a gun and machete in it, called the police. A gun and machete in the bag.
And I do remember machete being comically misspelled.
Yeah. The machete is comically misspelled. Well, they said, like, when they pulled up, the guy is in the house. He's drinking beers and doing drugs in the backyard with his drawers on. And then he invited the ladies outside.
I don't think this is his first time partying there.
No, it's like he probably orchestrated the door being locked. This man had the audacity to invite us outside. That's when we noticed he was talking to us through the open kitchen window. So they're saying he got in through the fucking kitchen window the second night. I called the police. Police came. They searched the bag, advised us of squatter rights. What the hell? They advised us to leave the home as soon as possible. It appeared that the owner has been letting him stay without disclosing it. And to think, what the hell was he about to do? What if we flew and couldn't carry our weapons? What if there are cameras in our home? Please don't rent this home. It's not safe. Why would they take his weapons on a plane? There's so much going on here.
Yeah.
But the good news is that the owner has a response to this.
A reasonable response. Yeah.
The owner's response is what makes, and it's like it fills in some blanks, and this is where this shit gets off the chain. Owner's response to Quandra's review, that what Quandra is saying is that they got to this house night one, they come home from the bar, can't get in. Maintenance man comes, breaks in. Night two, party bus. While they're on the party bus, maintenance guy asks them, can I come over with some friends? Whatever. He comes over with friends, drinking beer in his drawers, outside, inside, drugs, all of it. And now the owner's response. Ask him to leave. Machete, guns, squatter's rights. The police take the squatter's side. Owner's response. Please note that the house is totally safe. After hosting over 200 stays between different properties, this was the first time a guest has locked themselves out of the house after partying on Friday morning at 2 a.m. So I had to send a locksmith in the middle of the night so they can enter. They invited the person, the locksmith, inside the house to drink with them and do all sorts of inappropriate things. They were texting him. All day after that night, and invited him over again Saturday evening. He arrived a few minutes before them on Saturday as the group of girls showed up at a big party. So he was hanging around the backyard waiting for the girls and guests. And then they spent a couple hours drinking and again doing inappropriate things with him until late Saturday morning around 5 a.m. when they were all drunk and they wanted him to leave, but he wanted to stay longer, but eventually left. He apparently forgot his backpack, which had his tools, pliers, hammer, etc. for his work, locksmith. So they got scared and contacted the police. I had no knowledge of the locksmith or the ladies, all independent adults partying together, until they called the police. The police said that there was nothing for them to do as it was mutual consent. And if it was a break-in, they should have called him. They should have called the police when they saw him, not 4 hours after drinking and partying. So since he was there with mutual consent for long hours and he had already left peacefully and there was nothing in the bag they could do anything about, the police asked them to contact me and let me know of the incident as I am the owner. And then, you know, the owner goes on to allege that they're just trying to get a free weekend out of him. They partied with the locksmith. This is on them. Plano police can be reached to confirm all of this along. And the owner says he'll provide us with a copy of all the dirty texts and the police report.
I got to see it.
We can
I thought was if I own this property, if it was my place, I would take screenshots of the reviews, my response, and the text. I get it blown up and framed and hung in the property. I really think it would be a nice touch.
I'm so excited because this is the fucking Quandra P house.
I'd pay more. I'm willing to pay.
So let's figure out what happened. So girls weekend. She and her cousin and a couple other friends have rented this house to have some fun. That's same thing we're doing, you know.
Right.
We don't have a party bus. I mean, we're just probably old. We're probably old for that now. But
They forget the code, you know.
Friday night, come back, locked out, what they call a maintenance man, the owner calls a locksmith. I think the owner's lying some too. I don't think he has a locksmith on call. I think he had a maintenance man. He comes, the owner lets him in, and then proceeds to party, do drugs, drink, and fuck them all. Night one.
Yep.
And then night
and
two.
And then the next.
Yeah, the next day.
Night, he's
the next
ready.
Day they're going back and forth all day. And
I do believe he's waiting in the backyard, you know, in his underwear, maybe.
Do
in
you
shorts.
Think, do yeah. you think he's just like an incredibly handsome guy? Like what?
No, I think he just lucked into a situation, partied with them, had fun, and wow, they're shit faced. They're like, come back tomorrow.
You yes. Know? Yes. Oh God. Yeah. Frame the review, put it in the living room of the house. Like, let it be like the story, the charm of the place.
Right. It adds character.
I think it's fantastic. Like you said, I'd pay more. Quandra's quandary. That's nuts, dude. Random maintenance guy. Yeah. We could reenact the, you know, some. Everybody wants to be the maintenance man. Everybody wants to be the locksmith. I've determined my new fantasy football name this year is the locksmith.
I mean, you lock yourself out of that place. There's a pool. You just hang out in the pool.
I want Quandra to come party with us. I want her contact. Right. Maybe in the text messages we'll get her phone number.
I hope so.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Well, dude, look. When I first came up with the idea to look at NFL week one, way far out like this, the world said I was crazy. But the good thing is we can tie it into a discussion about lines and when they open and when they close and what it impacts. There was a very, very good article in The Athletic a couple weeks ago, back in June. It was written by this guy. He was he's the greatest Jeopardy champion of all time, and now he writes about gambling for The Athletic. If you don't have a subscription to The Athletic, I recommend that you get one. I pay $1 a month for The Athletic. If you do that, like I think I did it during Christmas, and it was like, $1 a month special. Okay. And it's great content. And this article was talking a lot about how lines work and close and line value. So if you want more information on this, definitely check out The Athletic. Definitely check out Holzhauer. I think it's like James Holzhauer, former Jeopardy champion that's now writing about sports wagering at The Athletic. And so basically, Troy, when a line comes out during the regular season, typically a line will come out 12 days, 13 days in advance. Okay. So like next week's game is already got a line on it. If you're in week two, there's already a line for week three out there. That line first hatches about 13 days out. All right. And right. It's there. Now, small asterisk, that line, they take the next week's line down and they take it out of play on Sundays while the other teams are playing. And then it pops back up Monday morning. Okay.
What's the reasoning for taking it down?
Because if something fucking obscene happens, like, you know, Lamar Jackson has a compound fracture where fucking bones right. coming out of his leg, like they take it down for that reason. They take the next week down. But when they first hatch a line, when they first concoct a line, it's usually a handful of very, very tenured, very, very well-respected lines makers combined with some artificial intelligence, some computer algorithms to make sure they're not too crazy. And usually these guys will post these lines. And what happens on the front end is it's almost like a copycat game and everybody kind of just follows. It's like follow the leader, you know? And those lines are out. And that's kind of like what happened here in the preseason. So being so far out from week one, these preseason lines are like those early hatched lines where it's just the lines maker's idea. Okay. Now, what happens as a line is available? So for example, you know, I'll use the Saints non-existent line. When the Saints line first hatched in the preseason, the Saints are 3-point favorites against the Packers in week one.
Really?
Yes. Now, as there's been uncertainty in the market, the lines makers actually took that line down. There's only one place you can find that line right now. My Uncle Tommy doesn't even have that line, and most books don't, but there's one out there that does, and I'll get into that. Let's say, for example, the Saints are 3-point favorites, or, you know, 3-point dogs, rather. They're giving away 3 points. If people start hammering that line, that line's going to move. People really try to start taking advantage of the Saints being that way. Lines can move and lines can flip. If all the money starts coming in on the Packers, that line could flip all the way to the Packers, right? But initially, when a line is first hatched, it's just the idea of this small cable of people. As a line ages over time and people start betting it either way, that line will start to move. And so a lot of times people think, if I'm going to bet on a game, it's best to wait all the way till Sunday. That's not the best idea.
No, I would think you have the best chances when it's first issued, right? Then you can take advantage.
You have, right? Because at that point, you're only really betting against the odds makers. As that line sits on the market, bettors, the whole world of bettors come to it. And so when the whole world of bettors come to a line, it's going to push the line that way. So if you bet, let's say you bet on a week two game on Monday, you're more or less just kind of, you're betting against a less tenured, experienced line. If you bet on that line come Saturday before the Sunday games, you're now betting against the lines makers and the entire world of gamblers. All of this has gone into making that line where it ends up just before game day. That's how a line evolves. Now, one of the best metrics, and I've been doing a lot of research lately about sports books banning professional gamblers. And there are sports books out there that care more about what we call closing line value than they care about your win-loss record. Because closing line value goes like this. Let's say I get Saints, I take the Packers +3 right now, if it were available. It was available a month ago. It's not available today. I take the Packers week 1 against the Saints +3. Gamblers get a chance to take a look at that. The money starts coming in crazy. I think an Aaron Rodgers Packers against a Jameis Winston Saints, I mean, that is a very, very generous line for that's to be taken advantage of on the side of the Green Bay Packers, right? Gamblers can move the line. Let's say I get it at Green Bay +3. If that line moves to, like, let's say, I don't know, Green Bay -1, I now have a closing line value that's improved 4 points because I was smart enough to get it now. That's an extreme example. Typically, lines will move a half point or a point. But if your closing line value shows over time that you're getting lines, buying them at a better time, it's like stocks. Buy low, sell high, right?
Right.
You're buying low, selling high on the line, and you've got a good closing line value. Doesn't matter if I hit 56, 58, 59% of my picks. If that closing, or if I hit 48, 47, 46% of my picks, if my closing line value is there in the positive, I am more likely to have success. Does that make sense to you, Troy?
Absolutely.
Have I done my job explaining a nuanced piece of gambling to the layperson listener?
You pretty much confirmed, like, my intuition that get in early on the ones you think you could take advantage of.
I got in early on that Saints game when they played the Broncos last season and the Broncos didn't have any fucking quarterbacks.
Well, it's kind of fucked up.
That was an extreme one. That was extreme. That line moved like 18 points. I had a good closing line value on that. Troy Bailey, are you ready to talk about NFL week 1 football action?
Yes, sir.
Dude.
So back when we first talked about doing this early, I do very little research, but what I did do was, like, I'm just going to guess lines. We don't have to go through that and do like a Bill Simmons ripoff gimmick, but I just kind of want to see what my my thinking was as we go through.
I'll ask you before every game what you think the line is. That'll be a lot of fun. All of my guests should do that. I should do that. That should be a regular thing every week. Well, the NFL season, dude, this is great. We're in. It's time. Thursday, NFL kickoff, September 9th. Dallas is traveling to take on the defending Super Bowl Tampa Toms. Tampa and the Tom Brady's are hosting Dallas on that Thursday night game. Troy, what you think the line is on this?
I guess Tampa Bay 5.5. I don't think Tampa Bay really lost anyone, did they?
No. I think Tampa Bay is a well-oiled machine at this point. Yeah. You are close. Tampa Bay is a 6.5-point favorite over the Dallas Cowboys. Opening night, Tampa at home. The over-under on this game is 51.5. I like that over a lot. I think that's definitely an over worth taking. In fact, Troy, little known fact, last season, NFL week one, the overs went 14-2 in week one. So really? I'm also going to do a gimmick this year. Week one, we're taking every over. Okay. Just so you know, no matter what, it only works if you do it this way. Got it.
Hence the name of the show.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't make sense, you still have to do it or else it won't work. I don't know. This is a game that I definitely want to include in a teaser. I think Tampa's going to roll all over Dallas, even though Dak is going to be back. You got the narrative. You got the NFL. You got the power of Goodell and the officials. I don't think Tampa Bay can lose this game. I got a feeling the powers that be want it to be a little bit closer than 6.5.
I would agree with that.
This game is going to be part of a three-way teaser. That is my lock of the week, lock of the preseason, lock of week one. I've got a three-way 6-point teaser, and this game is going to be one of them. And I'll talk more about that teaser as we go on. But this just seems like Tampa's going to win, right? I mean, I don't see Tampa losing to fucking Dallas in week one.
No, I don't either.
This is like they're going to have Carrie Underwood singing fucking, you know, songs about tornadoes. I mean, it's going to be fucking wild in Tampa. Probably like a killer's performance or something. They won't have Kanye, so you know, they don't have Kanye. I'm not interested, but that's good L for you. Then we get to Sunday, and Sunday early games. First early game that I'm excited about is going to be Pittsburgh on the road traveling to take on the Buffalo Bills. Troy, what do you think the line is on this game?
I guess Buffalo 4.5.
It's Buffalo 6.5.
6.5. Wow.
Buffalo 6.5. Okay. Yeah. Just like Tampa Bay. Do you see a trend here? These are, even in these first two lines, it's like, it's a touchdown. You're trying to be more precise than Satan and the odds makers here.
I'm overthinking it.
Yeah. Satan and the odds makers. No, I don't know. Yeah, maybe you are. 6.5. Over under on this game is 50.5. Of course, we're going to take the over. Dude, this is also a teaser. I don't have a doubt that Buffalo is going to beat Pittsburgh, but I'm very excited to move that line from Buffalo giving 6.5 points to Buffalo giving 0.5 point. And so I'm going to loop that in with my Dallas and Tampa Bay. And I'm going to take Tampa from -6.5 to -0.5. And I'm going to take Buffalo from -6.5 to -0.5. All right. We're 2-way into a 3-way 6-point teaser.
I like it.
Next early game. God, this game is fucking garbage. This is the Sam Darnold Bowl. Yeah, the Sam Darnold Bowl, week one. The New York Jets are traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Troy, what do you think the Panthers are line is with the Jets?
Carolina by 6. I'm Carolina very by bearish 4. On the Jets.
It's Carolina by 4. Who's the Jets quarterback?
That's a good question.
It's not Sam Darnold. He's the Panthers quarterback. Over-under on this game is 43. Take the over.
That's right.
Fucking kiss my ass with the rest of this one, dude. This is fucking stupid. The next game is also two pitiful ass teams, but this one's kind of fun. Jacksonville is traveling.
I knew you were going to say that.
Jacksonville is traveling to Houston to take on the Texans. Over under on this game is 45. Take the over on Jacksonville and Houston. Dude, what do you think the line is on Jacksonville and Houston?
I call it Jacksonville by 4. And I knew you were going to say this game, even though it's garbage teams. It is kind of an interesting matchup. I'm going to watch this one if it's available.
I want to watch this game too. Okay, so Houston is getting 3 points here.
Really?
Houston's getting 3. Is Jacksonville? Yes, Houston's a home underdog getting 3 points against the Jaguars. Here's the thing. Deshaun Watson is probably suiting up week one.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's in training camp. Everybody's being real fucking awkward and real fucking weird, but he's there and he's going to play. And
that's right.
That's going to be
fun.
But
what other early game has as much, you know, background drama as this one?
None. There's another one that I'm really excited about, but this is interesting. This is interesting as hell. And over under is 45. Take the over. Houston plus 3. I don't really have – this is not a game that, that I'm putting my name next to. I'm definitely going to have my cat pick this game as we get closer to the season, Uncle Baby Billy. Uncle Baby Billy is – this is going to be a game he has to pick. I'm not committing to it. 45, take the over. Houston plus 3. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's going to be interesting. Man, that's going to be interesting. That's why I love the NFL. Love week one. Next game. Arizona Cardinals are traveling to Nissan Stadium, where we'll be in November, to take on the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, Troy, what do you think? They're getting points, they're giving points. How many? What's your guess?
I'm thinking Titans by 4.5.
Titans minus 3 is the call.
Okay.
51.5 is the over-under on this game. Take the over. Titans have only gotten better. Arizona feels like paper mache, even week one, even though, you know, Kid Hustle is not going to be hurt yet. I just take the Titans minus 3 here. You got to take
they're
the
gonna Titans.
They're going to smash. Yeah, Titans minus 3 is an official pick. I feel like the Titans are coming for fucking blood this year. They really are. And it's going to be brutal. Next game. Philadelphia Eagles are traveling to the stadium that looks like a mechanical metal asshole to take on the hated Atlanta Falcons. Troy, what do you think?
That's where Kanye lives now.
Well, that's something good about the stadium then.
He's finishing his album there right now.
Yeah, he's like locked himself in until he finishes the album.
Yes.
I can't wait. Finish the album, brother. I'm ready to buy it. I'm ready. Take my money, Kanye. I'm in, dude. What do you think the line is?
I got Atlanta by 3.
It's Atlanta minus 3.5. Over-under on this game is 48. Okay, let me stop here. Philadelphia's not a bad football team.
Nope.
They had a quarterback problem last year.
They got better by subtraction, right?
They had a quarterback problem for most of the season last year, and its name was Carson Wentz, okay? Philadelphia is not a bad team. Atlanta is a shit show. No matter what way you spin it, it is a shit show of a team.
They
can
be. It's
a shit show of an organization.
But they could be good.
Philadelphia. Plus 3.5. You could tease it to Philadelphia plus 9.5. You think Atlanta's going to beat Philly by 10 week one?
No, I do not.
Fuck me. I like Philly plus 3.5. That's a pick. Philly 3.5 is an official pick. By the way, all my tricks are my official picks are going to be trackable this year. I'm still figuring out exactly what app pick tracker I'm going to use. I have reached out to a couple folks that make those things and asked them if they want to be affiliated with us. So we'll see what happens. But you'll be able to follow the official picks on an official app that I can't make shit up. It'll track me. Take Philly, take the 3.5. Next game, the quarterback that left Philly found a home in Indianapolis. So Carson Wentz is now the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, who are hosting the Seattle Seahawks in an early game opening Sunday. Troy, what did you think the line is on that one?
I gave Seattle -5.
It's -2.5 to Indiana. Seattle is getting 2.5 points. Now, they say Seattle doesn't travel well when they've got to go east and play early. But week one Seahawks seem like early season Seahawks always come out. Early season Russell Wilson always comes out. And Indy's starting quarterback is Carson Wentz. I think that he is a disaster of a quarterback at this point in his career. He's punch drunk. He's been hit too. He's like broken, dude. He's broken Carson Wentz. He's like broken like Cam is mentally broken. Fucking Carson Wentz is spiritually broken.
Well, maybe he just needs to change the scenery.
I
don't think he's done. I think he's going to have good weeks, right? I think he's going to have weeks where he gets 350, two or three touchdowns, and ESPN's going to, is he back?
The comeback story.
It's not going to materialize, of course.
You're not even going to be able to create that narrative. I'm betting on it. I'm betting that Seattle is 2.5 points better week one. I'd love to tease that, but I'll leave it where it's at. Seattle +2.5 over Indy. Over-under on that game is 52. We got to take the over on that one too. So,
yes, sir.
Next early game. This one's a little funky. I'm not a big fan, but if you're an LSU fan, this game's going to be real exciting. Minnesota is traveling to Cincinnati. Troy, what do you think the line is on this one?
I'm giving, I think, Minnesota by 4. Yeah.
Minnesota's -3.5. You're very, very good on that. Minnesota -3.5. Cincinnati +3.5. You got LSU quarterback. You got LSU receiver on the opposing offense. You got allegedly Joe Burrow is going to be back for this game. I'm staying so far away from this game.
I would too.
And I might glance over at it and go, oh, look at Joey Football go. Over-under on this game is 48. Fucking take the over. Take the over on that, dude. All day. Minnesota and Cincy, it'll be fun to watch from far. I'm so far away from that game. Next final early game is going to be the San Francisco 49ers and their quarterback. I'm sure they've manufactured a quarterback controversy for themselves this year.
Of course.
Traveling to Detroit to take on Detroit and their new head coach who came from the Saints, who is apparently this guy's a fucking lunatic. What do you think the line is on this one? Because this line is crazy.
I got San Fran by 7.5.
That's what Vegas thinks spot on. Really? 49ers -7.5. Detroit +7.5. Over-under on this game is 46. Take that fucking over. Goodness gracious. I don't know, man. I don't know. You think a rookie head coach is going to – you think that lunatic is going to come out and get beat by 8 points or more? I don't know, dude. But I don't recommend – I can't.
Yeah.
I don't have a good read on that game at all. At all.
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut. Stay away. It's a lot of times you win by the bets you don't make, and you lose by the bets you do. Figure that one out. Afternoon games. Cleveland is traveling to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. What you think the line is?
I got Chiefs by 5.5.
It's Chiefs -6.
Okay.
Over-under on this game is 52.5. I feel very confident taking this over alongside every single other fucking over in week one.
Agreed.
Man, wouldn't that be fun to tease down to KC flat-out win?
Absolutely. You throwing it in?
I mean, I think KC is going to win this game outright.
Absolutely.
Although yes. KC stood for can't fucking cover last year. They won, but never covered. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to touch this game. I'm touching the over on this game all day.
What was it? 50?
52 and a half.
52.
They're going to score 60. I don't know, man. It'd be fun to tease it down to KC flat, but and then Cleveland's always got the hype. It's just the Kansas City never covers. So it's really hard to take either team. I don't see any value there. I see value in the total. But I don't see value in the line. Next late game, this one's a travesty. This is another one I think that can really be taken advantage of and have a strong read in that Miami is traveling to take on division rival New England. What do you think the line is, Troy?
Miami minus 4.5.
New England minus 2.5.
What?
Miami is getting 2.5 Come points on the road Come against on. The New England Patriots, who allegedly Cam Newton's still their starting quarterback. They drafted a fucking nobody from Alabama. They've way too high. That's never going to amount to anything. It'll be a career backup. They are playing at home. They do have some guys returning from COVID protocol from last year, but how you know those guys aren't going to fucking sit out again? Miami plus 2.5 is a steal.
I think so, too.
The total on this game of 45 makes me cringe a little bit, but we're going to take every fucking over in week one, so we're taking that one, too. Denver travels to take on the New York Giants. For whatever reason, it being a late game in week one, I don't know. This line doesn't even matter. Troy, what do you think it is?
I got Giants minus 2.5. Two, minus two.
Giants plus 1.
Oh.
This is the battle of who could care less. Oh, this is. I mean,
the Giants are going to have a little bit of a comeback this year.
They should cancel this game. Don't even play.
The Giants could win that division.
Over under on this game is the lowest total of the week, 42.5. We're going to take that over.
Yes, sir.
All these overs are one unit bets, by the way. Every single overs. We're not going to weight them any differently. They're all going to be one unit. And that brings the fuck Denver. I don't care to watch that. I don't, if that TV game is on a TV around me, I'm going to say, turn it off, please. Can we watch the WNBA instead of, Denver, New York on that screen?
That's right.
Chicago Sunday Night Football is traveling to LA to take on the Rams. What do you think?
I like the Rams. I think minus 6 at home.
The Rams minus 7 at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
They got this new quarterback.
Yes. I think the Rams are going to be very good this year. He's not bad. I think you have right there an example of a team that's going to be very good this year, taking on a team that's going to continue to be very bad this year. National TV.
So who's starting? Do they know? For Chicago.
Oh, I knew it, but I forgot.
See,
I
you
looked
just
it up.
Proved your own.
I
point.
Looked it up the other day. Yeah, and I no longer remember. If you just asked me, I can't tell you. Nor am I even going to look it up.
It's not worth it.
No. I was once a criminal. Now I'm a patient. That's a dude. All right, here's what we're gonna do. Teaser of the week. This is my official lock of the week for week one NFL. Lock it in right now. Did you know, Troy, in addition to just regular betting on games right now, you can also do parlays and teasers? So what we're gonna do here is a three-way 6-point teaser where that allows us to move the line 6 points in either direction that we want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's hear it.
First thing we're going to do is we're going to take that Thursday night game. Remember, Tampa Bay is favored. They're giving 6.5 points to Dallas on national TV. So we're going to take that line from 6.5 Tampa Bay to Tampa Bay minus 0.5. Okay.
Got it.
Next game is going to be a nice early Sunday game. So we get excited. We watch our Thursday night bet. So easily clear. And then we get our early Sunday game. And that's going to be Buffalo at home versus Pittsburgh. And that's also a 6.5 point line. And we're also going to move that line down to, from Buffalo being minus 6.5 to Buffalo being minus 0.5. And that's the second part of this three-way teaser.
Got it.
The third part of this three-way 6-point teaser is the Rams at home on Sunday Night Football. Minus 7. Moving that to minus 1.
I like it.
I want you to get crazy.
I'm in. I'm sold.
I want you to get crazy. Go big. Go 3 units. Go 4 units. I'm not even going to tell the listeners what they're going to win. I want it to be a surprise. I want them to do it. I want them to find out at the kiosk in Applebee's.
I like how it carries you through from Thursday to Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah. Go big. Take every over too. And do the other games I suggest you do. But like, you know, if you really want, just put it all in this. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome. Like I said, last year the over went 14-2 week one. Notice we didn't, like when we went through week one, we did not talk about the Saints. That is a line that started out. Last month, you could get the Saints versus the Packers week one. And it was the Saints minus 3. And that was when there was some mild uncertainty about Aaron Rodgers. And then about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the uncertainty about Aaron Rodgers reached a fevered pitch to where almost every single book in existence took that game off the board. And so now, very few books have this game available, but you can get it right now at FanDuel, who is going to be a vendor operating in Louisiana. You'll be able to do FanDuel on your phone. And FanDuel has it currently, New Orleans minus 2, Green Bay, you know, plus 2. There is no total. They do not have a total for this game yet.
I'm surprised. I would have thought Green Bay would be favored.
I thought Green Bay would be favored too. Look, I love the Saints.
Like Green Bay minus like 1.5.
I love the Saints. I love my Saints so much.
Yes. This is a good matchup.
This is a great game.
Yeah.
And it's an afternoon game. And it's going to be a featured game. I feel like Green Bay was better than Tampa Bay last year. I feel like Green Bay should have beat Tampa. That NFC championship game was shenanigans. Yeah, they had the drama with Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that they should be getting points now that he's back. And there's no uncertainty now. He's back. This is an example of what I told you about earlier.
Cobb? Is that did I hear
maybe Randall Cobb coming back? This is an example of what I was telling you about. As this line ages, don't expect to see it at New Orleans minus 2, Green Bay plus 2. As this line ages, once it starts getting published, this FanDuel, it's going to move.
It's going to shift. I hate to
bet against the Saints. Yeah. I hate to bet against the Saints, but Green Bay plus 2 is just absurd. So if you can find that, and if you can find it before it moves, I recommend getting in on that too. That's our week one rundown for the NFL. You know, what's funny is I logged in today and was looking around at the different lines. I also, my little antenna went up because I noticed that there's preseason games starting as soon as August 5th. And there's nothing more ridiculous and sadistic than betting on the preseason.
Okay.
And so we're going to have some, we're going to pass the time in the next couple weeks by talking about preseason games. Dude, this is, it's like we could, it's like you could bet on snails. You know what
it
I mean?
It gives
like,
you a reason to watch the garbage games,
yeah.
I suppose.
It's like flipping a coin. It's fun. It's like shooting craps, dude. It's, yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll get back to some nonsense. But you know, I'm glad to be back, excited for the season. Troy, what have you got? Anything that, that we didn't get to that you definitely need know we need to hit?
Well, yeah, I know you're a patient now, but did we cover the Monday night game week one?
I am a patient now. I feel like by the Monday night game, we're gonna be, you know, that Randy Marsh Randy Marsh meme from South Park where he's in the bathroom. Or he's at his computer and there's stuff all over the walls. Baltimore is traveling to Vegas. Fuck, I'm a patient now. I'm no longer a criminal. I got to tell you, I was skeptical for the first few hours of it, but now I'm not. What do you think? What do you think the line is?
This is the best matchup, I think, right?
Oh, this is the one you're excited about?
Yeah.
You, I mean, like, you like your quarterbacks to wear eyeliner? Is what?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How's that
Baltimore, wrong, Las Vegas. I got Las Vegas by 4.
It's Vegas plus 4.5. You're very close on that. The over under is 51. I feel like by the time this game
Baltimore's
happens,
favorite?
I'm sorry, Vegas is getting 4.5 points.
Okay.
Yeah. Dude, I feel like by the time this game happens, it'll be like Thanksgiving when you've had too much turkey, you know? I'll be like, no more turkey. I don't want a turkey sandwich. I don't want leftover turkey.
Go away, Chucky.
I'll probably be in-game live betting this. As I sit here now saying, like, I get tired looking at that game, knowing where I'll have my journey, what my wagering journey will have been the previous fucking 8 hours, you know, going back to Thursday too. I don't know. Baltimore minus 4.5, Vegas plus 4.5. The over's 51. We're taking that over. What do you think?
Well, don't touch it and just have fun watching this one.
What do you think?
Because
you think somebody's gonna win this football game?
I think they have to.
Right? Okay. Yeah, oops, we're getting there.
Yeah.
You think it's gonna be the Baltimore Ravens?
I'm giving the edge to Vegas. Just as the home team.
And they're getting 4.5 points.
Right.
You want the 4? You just take a Vegas money line. And by the way, there's no money lines out right now either. But you just want Vegas to win straight up. You'll get better odds. You're going to get plus something.
You know? Yeah, whatever that money line is, I'll take Vegas.
Hoo-wee. I just get tired looking at that game, dude. I get tired looking at that game.
Oh.
That is the day after Sunday. You get like a day to recover, you know.
That's right.
Fuck, we'll talk about that one Sunday night. I'll talk about that one Monday morning. I can't deal with it right now. Yeah, I didn't want it. Like I said, I feel very strongly taking the Titans in week one. I feel very strongly taking the Seahawks in week one. I feel very strongly taking the team that's playing Indianapolis, which is the Seahawks. I feel very strongly taking Miami, getting 2.5. And then, like I said, that three-way teaser. Is there anything else that that we didn't hit before we get out of here, Troy?
No, I don't think so. Well, you didn't really explain that you're a patient now.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I did not. All right. So I officially acquired my Louisiana medical marijuana license today. And the whole, you know, the longest part of it was sitting in traffic, driving from Mandeville to Madisonville to the pharmacy.
But you just went to a normal pharmacy.
No, I went to a special pharmacy, one of seven or eight in the state. So what happens is you talk to a doctor, you call a doctor, and the doctor goes, oh, you know, what's wrong with you? And you go, I'm terribly afflicted. I need this. And you're able to do the phone call via Zoom, like conference call, video call. Actually, the longest part of the consultation with the doctor was that, her connection wasn't very good. So she's like, I'm just going to call you on the phone. And I was like, okay. So she just calls my cell phone and we talked for about 3 minutes. And she's like, you know, the way it works is I've got a license for a year now medically as from this doctor. And they will go like, oh, what pharmacy do you prefer? There's one in Madisonville, which is near to me. There's one in Baton Rouge. There's one in New Orleans. There's one in Houma. And I was like, Madisonville will be fine. She's like, right, we just send them a fax. They get a little thing, you know, and, yeah, you'll be ready like within the hour. And I was like, thank you, doctor. Thank you. And so, I mean, dude, honestly, it's a crazy thing. Your whole life, you think, oh, there's something wrong with this. Oh, this is bad.
That's right.
And you always knew that wasn't the case. And there's just this weird, and there's these hoops. I mean, what I just described, the process I just described, and the farcical nature of it, you know? You had to pay $200. Found a promo code online. Got it for $185.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It's crazy.
What a future.
I'm talking to the pharmacist, and I'm going, so if I get pulled over with this, I'm okay. He's like, yeah. He's like, you know, don't be stoned and drive, but yeah. He's like, you're on police database. You're like a person driving around with painkillers. You're good. This is your prescription. Take a picture of it.
Would you have ever thought that that would happen in Louisiana? I mean, it's
been a rough ride for Louisiana. You know, believe it or not, I follow this kind of thing. I keep up with it. It's been a weird ride for Louisiana. The law, as it was first written, wasn't very good. I mean, this pharmacy structure, it does scream good old boy system, you know? I mean, get me wrong. It's kind of gross in that way, you know? But when it first hatched, it was really, really, really not too good, and the prices were sky, sky high. The prices are still a little high, but not too much more than on the illegal market. Mm-hmm. They're going to have flower starting in January, which is interesting. Right now it's just tinctures and gummies and vapes. But I mean, it's amazing. It's silly, the hoops you got to jump through, but it's amazing it happened. And like for the first time, I mean, you know, I sit here for the first time in my life, other than when I was been in other states or where it's, but like I'm a medical patient in my home state. Like there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing right now by value systems and by now the law. I am legally stoned on pure fucking lab grade marijuana.
Congratulations.
I apologize for forgetting about Monday Night Football. That's why.
But thank honestly, you, LSU yeah. Lags Ag Center.
Dude, it's got a little LSU on it, you know? I was like, you can put LSU. We used to joke around. You can put LSU on fucking flip-flops. You can put LSU on maternity clothes. You can put LSU. Put LSU is on my bottle.
I think LSU was early in the medical marijuana testing.
They gave there's two facilities that are allowed to grow and process and supply to everyone. And they got awarded to LSU and Southern. And so each LSU and Southern had to also pick like a commercial partner. And so it's like a cooperative endeavor. LSU's got a commercial partner, like a private company that they work with. And Southern's got a private company that they work with. And I think now they're both producing. There was a while where like Southern kind of got slowed down and they didn't really start off producing, you know, but so there was a shortage. But the shortage actually, it ended up being there. It took them a while to get to market, both of them, because of just our fucked up politicians. So, but these places opened and were required to stay open, but they had nothing to sell for like the first 6 months of the program a couple years ago. And their prices were inordinately high for when they finally had stuff come in. You had people that were going to go, okay, I'm going to do this the right way. I'm going to do this the medical way. And they'd go and to like, you know, get stoned for a month is going to cost them $350, not your insurance. And so they saw statistically that people were coming one time and never coming back. They're supposed to, you know, we expect them to be back in 3 months. They never came back. So the labs themselves have announced that they're lowering the prices in hopes that the 7 politically chosen pharmacies will lower their prices. And they are. It was a matter of people weren't going to go buy. It was too high. So now
cheaper
it's come
on the
down,
street?
Way cheaper on the street. Cheaper on the street. And you could buy an illegal cartridge in Louisiana for cheaper than you can buy a fucking real one now, you know, or a not illegal one, you know. Cartridges are still
as
stupid.
You know, I'm not in the game, so
what's funny is when we were kids you were, but you're not now. I always assume that you're, you know.
I'm adjacent to the
game. I just always figure you're in the know, because I mean, you know, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad I could let you know. So like I said, it's a big thing. I'm excited about it, dude. I mean, it's crazy.
It's progress. It's something, you know.
Yes. It's not a license to be irresponsible. It's not a license to get intoxicated and drive. You know, you still just be a good human, like you've always been. Except now, the bust down your door, and then you go, "Yeah, officer, I'm stoned. Here's my fucking script. Oh, look, you'd like this. It's got LSU on it. I saw LSU bumper sticker on your fucking." Cruiser over there.
Yeah, it's nice.
But I feel like it works. I was a little worried for the first hour, so I pulled a rookie maneuver. I ate some fatty foods to help, you know.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm happy. It's going to be a great year. Excited for football.
Good football, man.
I appreciate you coming on short notice, even doing some research, making it fun. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. Follow us on Twitter at Taking the Over. Subscribe to us here on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. Check out all the pods. Dome Patrol is coming back. BS and Beer is coming back. LSU football and Scott and the Tiger's Den is going to be fun. Our English friends are always involved with the regular season state stuff. You always catch them on the point after. It's going to be a really, really, dude, I'm excited. It's going to be a great year. I've got a couple things, additional chances you'll be able to hear Billy Gunn on other venues in the works. I cannot announce those yet, but it's going to be cool. And Troy, say goodbye to all of the beautiful people listening in to us out there in podcast land.
Goodbye, all you beautiful people. Thanks again, brother.
Thank you too, man. And we'll see you on the other side. Later. Coheed rules.